When he was a teenager and living in McLean, Virginia, John Richardson Jr. found out his father was a spy for the CIA, a high-level Cold Warrior during the 50s and 60s. John Richardson Sr. had been posted as station chief in Saigon, then made headlines when he was recalled. For decades, John the son was desperate to know more, but his father was distant and tight-lipped until his last years. With some reluctance, his dad began to fill in the blanks. And after his death, Richardson sought out declassified documents and convinced some of his dad's old colleagues to talk. Now he's pieced together this secret life in a new book called My Father the Spy, an investigative memoir. John Richardson Jr. joins us in the studio. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
Take us back to that moment when your dad told you what he did for a living.
I was 14. We were living in a big white house on a hill, and he came and said, "We're going to Korea. We're moving. And before you decide what you're going to do, if you want to stay here in boarding school or come with us, you're old enough to know what I do for a living." And he said, "I'm not the special assistant to the ambassador. I don't work for the State Department. I'm a CIA officer."
And what did you think of that?
Well, at first, it just seemed preposterous to me. He was this dad in a suit and horn-rimmed glasses, and he was writing me about my English grammar constantly. I thought he was an English teacher, secret English teacher for the CIA. He was a very serious guy, and I felt him as heavy and a bit oppressive, full of seriousness, darkness, global concerns that were beyond my teenage knowledge.
And yet these concerns invaded your family life. I mean, I was struck by the intense political discussions that would sometimes take place at the dinner table. And I was wondering if I could ask you to read a bit. Set this up for us first. Right.
David Halberstam had written this piece in 1971 about my father, where he didn't use his name, but he used him as an example of everything that was horrible about America. He said, I was to think of him, this is quoting Halberstam, I was to think of him as being more representative of America than I wanted, in that he held power, manipulated it, and had great money to spend, all unchecked by the public eye. So my father had just gotten this article, unbeknownst to me, because he certainly didn't share this with me. And right around that time, I chose to be a pest. And here's the sentence. "By coincidence, I choose that moment to engage him on a debate on communism. We are just sitting down to the dinner table, and one of the maids is offering me the serving plate, and I use the big silver fork and spoon to take some food. 'You're always talking about how great those kibbutzes are in Israel,' I say, 'but aren't they basically just communes? Isn't that what kibbutz means? And what's so wrong with sharing stuff anyway? All your better hippies live on communes, don't they? Not like the greedy capitalist Rockefellers who..." And Dad explodes, telling me I know nothing about the Rockefellers and all the fine civic things they have done to grace our country. "Communism is a totalitarian system of social control that suppresses all freedom, a system in which self-indulgent brats like me would be the first to go." He throws down his napkin and storms up the stairs.
Do you still remember that?
Oh, it's so embarrassing. Of course I remember it. Do try to block this stuff out of my memory. Oh, you know, every kid wants to get the old man's goat. I just had a really great way of doing it.
Now, at a certain point, you decide you want to know more, and you start to ask him questions. What happens?
Yes. Well, he says, "Son, he said, "You know, son, I swore an oath of secrecy." And he had this very formal way of talking and behaving. I do not remember him ever wearing anything but a suit.
Yeah, there's a passage where some guy says, "Yeah, in Vietnam, you know, it's hot and muggy and everyone is in their white linens and he's in a black suit."
He's in a black suit up in the jungle. He'd be wearing the costume of his people, of tight wasps.
So he's taken an oath of secrecy. He's not forthcoming with you.
No, and wasn't forthcoming about anything, even personal things. My mother said that he never spoke to her about his childhood, hardly ever, their whole married life. I was 14, 15 before he told me that he had a brother.
Who had been killed in a tragic accident.
And he believed had committed suicide. So, and he told me that story. And he'd been drinking, and it was late at night. And I remember the aha. This is it. And throughout my life, there were those aha, this is the secret. This is the, until I came out the other end of believing that there was a secret code that solved the mystery. And that, to a certain extent, was this, what I came through by writing the book. And actually, came to the point of resentment against the mystique of secrecy that people have.
What do you mean?
The mystique, the secrecy has a glamour to it, and that mystique turns me off, because my dad was a serious guy doing serious things. It wasn't jumping out of a helicopter, shooting a bad guy, and drinking a chilled martini. It was much more serious than that. And so the mystique that people get seems like a betrayal of the real guy, and just sort of made your hackles rise.
Now, your father did have one moment in his career. He was at the height, one could call it the height of his career, the station chief in Saigon, mm-hmm. as the Vietnam War is ramping up. And he was outed in the press.
He was outed in the press.
Can you read a little bit here, page 197?
The bombshell appeared in the Washington Daily News, written by a reporter named Richard Starnes. The CIA mess in South Vietnam, arrogant CIA disobeys orders. A little-known writer who sidelined in detective novels, Starnes came out to Saigon and quickly stumbled onto a very inside story indeed, that the head of the CIA in Vietnam was a man named John H. Richardson, and that he had twice refused to carry out explicit orders from Henry Cabot Lodge. Denouncing the CIA's performance in Vietnam as, quote, a dismal chronicle of bureaucratic arrogance, obstinate disregard of orders, and unrestrained thirst for power, warning of spooks and button men who are accountable to no one, Starnes packed his article with a surprising number of specifics.
That was not the end of your dad's career, but it certainly changed it.
It knocked him off the rails, and he never really recovered, I think, and poisoned our family life and had a lot to do with America getting into the Vietnam War. But aside from that, it was no big deal.
Your dad, he's very loyal to his secrecy oath for many years.
Always.
Well, then you write, though, he has his 80th birthday. He's retired, well into retirement here, and he starts opening up.
When I first broached the subject of doing a book, he got really upset. He didn't tell me he got upset, but my mother told me later that he was upset for days and considered writing letters and to the agency and warning them about my nefarious ideas. Then he changed his mind, and I don't really know what changed it, but he gave me interviews and was very helpful and as open as he could be. He kept to his oath.
He died in 1998. Since then, you've done a lot of other research. You've got mm-hmm. declassified documents from the CIA. You've spoken with some of his former colleagues.
Oh, yes.
How did they react when you approached them?
Well, one of them said your father would turn over in his grave if he knew what you were doing. A lot of people from the older generation don't understand why you would put in personal stuff like drinking or family problems or the brother's suicide or stuff like that. They see it as history and think that the personal and the important historical stuff shouldn't be connected in some way, whereas I see the opposite. They must be connected.
You saw one as an answer to explain the other.
One plays off the other. And in order to understand my father's political actions, I had to understand his soul. And in order to understand his soul, I eventually had to understand his political actions. So I don't see how you can separate the two, really.
Did you find the answer to the question you started out with the ultimate aha moment that explains your father to you?
I began to see how one thing led to another and sort of the march of time through him. And in that, you sort of say, okay, I see how this happened. I guess, how did it get dark? How did this heaviness come to him? And how did history take him from us in the family in a way? I guess I feel a little bit like that. I'm getting a little...
You're getting emotional.
Yeah. I don't know. I hate to think of my dad as sad and, you know, it's so personal. I mean, there's so much revealing and painful personal stuff in there. Those feelings that I have for the work are opposite, exist on a separate plane. And until people ask me, I don't feel those feelings, and I would just as soon not. I mean, you know?
Well, I mean, this leads to a touchy-feely question. We've been talking about your father and your understanding of him, but have you come to understand yourself a little differently through this?
I guess yes. Even just today, talking to people about the book, someone said to me that my tone sounds like an intelligent report and that it's very dispassionate. And I was nonplussed and a little bit hurt. I was like, wait a minute, this is as passionate a book as you could possibly get. What do you mean it's dispassionate? And of course, then I saw what she meant immediately. And what we just talked about, this removal, like, I don't want to feel it, I want to report it.
Like father, like son.
I'm afraid so. It's a little scary. It is. It's a little scary. Because, I mean, I believe one thing I learned from being my father's son, and I think our generation learned from being the sons of those hard fathers, is that it's not good for you or your children to be a closed book. That people need to talk and to tell each other the truth about each other so that they can have a relationship. And so I definitely try to be open and to tell the truth in an unrestrained way without worrying about whether it's going to embarrass me or whatever. And then I embarrass myself. So you can't win.
John Richardson is author of My Father, the Spy, an investigative memoir. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
To read from My Father, the Spy, go to our website, npr.org. That's All Things Considered. From NPR News, I'm Jennifer Ludden.